Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speak your mind at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Get back to your calls here. Sal Licata on the fan. Mets lose yet again. Season over before July. Who would have ever thought that would be the case this year? Yankees continue to play some solid baseball, even in the year where it's been frustrating, up and down, it seems. You know, the Yankees still well over 500 and look like they're headed in the right direction. Now, how healthy can they get here? We're going to find out. And, you know, that's going to be imperative moving on here in the second half of the season with their goals to get to and win a World Series. You know, they need guys back, especially Judge. So until then, though, they need these guys to get the job done. And at least, you know, for the last couple of weeks, they've done it. 877-337-6666. John is calling from Port Jeff Station. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, John. How are you?
Good, good. The last couple of months, it's been great to get on the show. You know, I've tried to be a regular, but it's hard to get into my hours and stuff. But I want to say congratulations on your new stint.
Thank you.
I believe you're going to be a great station moving on. I'm glad for you and your family. It's a good thing for you. It's a great position to be in for you and your family.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that very much. Obviously, we're joking around a little bit about exiting the overnights. But yes, I'm happy for what will be the greatest opportunity of my career.
Yeah, well, you got it. And you deserve it more than anybody. I appreciate it. I was just talking about, you know, thinking about the GMs for the both teams. You know, Steve Cohen for the Mets, I think he played like a Terry Collins when he had to keep Matt Harvey in for that last inning. And I think, you know, Steve Cohen played to the fans as far as trying to buy people and get people in and move the Mets along in the last couple of years. And I think that kind of backfired, and you can see that now. And, you know, I'm not a Mets fan, I'm a Yankee fan, but I'd like to see them do well and see the New York teams do well. Unfortunately for them, it's not doing any for this year. But, you know, I look back and the Yankee fans complaining about, you know, with Brian Cashman, no, we made this move, that move. I'm satisfied, not to make the World Series, I'm not satisfied about that with the Yankees, but they've been in the hunt every year for players for how many years, and I'm happy with that. At least I can watch a game, I can go to Yankee Stadium
right,
and say to myself, hey, you know, I'm watching a game that they can win. The Mets fans don't have that luxury of going in and say, hey, maybe we might win one time. You know, and as you see the series with the Yankees here, they're beating the teams they have to, and they beat Texas, which who would have thought 2 out of 3? So my thought on the GMs, too, is the Mets have one every other year, and the Yankees, they stay with Brian Cashman, and they make it every year. So there's a big difference there in the ownership taking care of who they need to keep and not keep.
Well, that's why we thought, and thank you for the call, John, and for the kind words, that's why we thought last year was going to be the beginning of a sustained run. I'm not talking about a dynasty. I'm not talking about winning World Series, although I do think that that's realistic to expect now with the Mets, with their payroll, with the way that Steve Cohen is investing not just at the big league team, but also throughout the course or throughout the levels of the organization, the minors and all that stuff, building the farm system back up. So they do need some continuity. They're trying to hire a president. We knew that that was the case anyway. You heard Cohen say it the other day that they're still trying to hire a president of baseball operations. Like, that's a big deal. So he needs to find that guy. And then from there, maybe there's better structure. And look, I do think, I stand by this, I do think Billy Epler was the right hire at this time, the perfect fit, a guy who's got experience in New York, worked under Steinbrenner with Cashman all those years. Who's better to, you know this market and know what this town is all about than a guy who's experienced it like Billy Epler. He was a general manager, although it didn't go very well with the Angels. Still having the general manager experience, I think that that's something that would have been appealing to me too. So I stand by the hire of Billy Epler. I like that for the Mets. Now he's got to prove himself. He's had one good year, one lousy year. We're going to see what he could do as far as being a seller. We're going to see what he could do next year. I wouldn't anticipate changes with at least Billy Epler. Buck, maybe a different story at the end of the year. Billy Epler, I don't think he's going anywhere, nor do I think he should, because to your point, you need to have some kind of consistency. Mickey the Gravedigger calling from the Bronx. What's up, Mickey?
Yo, Mickey. Sal, hold on one second. 325 to dispatch. Give me 5 seconds, 5 minutes on this. Hey, sorry. I had to get out of
the box. Yeah, it's all right. I'll put you on hold. You want to call?
No, don't put me out. I just had to get out of the ambulance. What's up, man?
How are you?
Yeah, what's going on, my brother? I had to call in on the last night, brother. It just worked out somehow that I was working and you are, man. It was like heaven sent, my man.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be here, or I was here.
No, but you know what? It's not going to be the same, like we talked about. We're not going to have these conversations. We're not going to have these one-on-ones. They're over. Not that I'm not going to see you, because I know I'll see you before I leave in January. But what I'm saying is that these conversations and the conversations you have with everybody else, you know, they're over, you know?
You're right. It is a different show during the midday. I'd be lying if I said otherwise. There's not going to be the 5 minute back and forth with me and a caller. That's just not how it works.
Yeah, and what I'm doing here is I'm calling in to thank you. To thank you for everything you've done for me, to thank you for everything you've helped me through this last year. Everything you've helped probably through, not just me, through a million people. So you're the best person on this radio station, and I am the happiest out of in a long time. And you know my whole story. We've had a long talk. I am honestly, I haven't been this happy, right? And it's not even for me. I haven't been this happy in the last year, right, than I am now, that my man, Sal Licata, finally got the break that he deserves. The radio figured out that he needs to be on middays, and everybody realized that this guy doesn't need to not be heard by, 30,000 people.
Well, I mean, I think it was just
by a million people.
I don't know if it was all that, and I appreciate what you're saying, Mickey, but I think it was just that Craig got an offer that he accepted, and it's great for him and his family, as you heard him talk about. So congratulations to him. I got lucky in that regard.
And you did. But remember, in the past, when everybody left, they would change, and this time they didn't. They kept everybody in-house, which was way different. They never done that before.
Well, I think that's one of the things I'm most proud of about this station. I talked about that before. The thing that's exciting is hiring from within. I just think it's a very healthy way to operate. But anyway, I appreciate
one thing
it. I'm excited.
Say, and so am I. And I'm so excited. And Fleegs and Hoff, bro, I just want to give you guys a shout out. Thank you for always, putting me through. Thank you for always being on the other side of the radio. I'm going to miss talking to you guys and hearing to you guys. I know you guys will fill in, but this Sal Licata show does not go on without you two behind the glass. And I want to give you guys your shout out too.
Well, thank you, Mickey, for that. Are they all pretty well? You got something else you want to say?
Yeah, and this morning, so when I went to the show, I got all my pictures, taken with all the guys, right? And I went to this morning, after work. I worked at midnight, and I'm working at midnight tonight again. A 24-hour. And I went to the radio station, and I printed out, and I went and I got, posted pictures and stuff. And I had one picture, and you know me and Craig, and you know the story between me and Craig. And I had, 30 minutes left to wait for Craig. And the security guards kicked me out of there.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't condone, and thank you for the call, Mickey. I appreciate you checking in. I wouldn't condone hanging out in front of the studios all day. I don't know what the rules are with that. But anyway, we do appreciate your support. I know you're a huge fan of the fan. And, we appreciate that very much. And thank you for all the kind words that you said. And we appreciate you listening. Antonio is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, how you doing? How's everything going, man?
Good. How are you, Antonio?
Good, man. Good. First of all, I want look. Everybody's saying the same thing. I want to wish you the best in your new time slot. I'm sure. I have no doubt you'll do well because you're talented. I mean, you basically can talk about any sport. You're like the Bo Jackson of sports hosts, basically, to me. Like, very few people can talk about – look, can talk hockey. A lot of people cannot talk hockey. You can. And trust me, a lot of people can. So, and, of course, basketball, baseball, football. I mean, I don't know about your hockey. I mean, assuming golf and soccer and tennis, but I know that those sports, I heard you talk, and you know what you're talking about. So, and also, look, you're already successful. You have your own show on, you know, on SNY. You do commentary there. So, it's just, you're taking it to another level. That's what you're doing.
I mean, look, yeah. I appreciate that. But you're right. I felt like I've made the big leagues when I got hired to do the overnight show full time. That meant the world to me. So, this is just another opportunity that is going to be on in a day part, which is still hard to comprehend, to be honest with you. But yeah, I mean, I'm very excited for this new opportunity. I do appreciate the kind words, Antonio.
Cool. Really, two quick things here. I want to talk about Marte, but real quick, do you know who Ezequiel Duran is? You know who that is?
No,
Ezequiel Duran. He's a 24-year-old. I think infielder. He plays with the Texas Rangers. He was traded for Joey Gallo.
Okay.
Right? He's 24 years old. Like I said, he's hitting .322.
The Yankees traded him for Gallo.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Traded him for Gallo. He was in the Yankee system, and now he's like again. He's like tearing it up with the Rangers.
That's not good.
Exactly. So that's why the Mets need to avoid doing things like that. That's why at this point, like you said, the season is over. And I want to get to Marte because I think, look, he has had 81 games to show basically that he's back or that he's close to what he was last year. And he hasn't done it. And this is my main point about him is that, he's a very proud person. You can tell by the way he walks. He's very confident. Like the way he walks to the plate, he seems like, I'm the guy. And so what happens when he's performing like he's performing now, his demeanor makes it seem like he doesn't care. You know, and I think that's going to be worse for the Mets if they continue on with this season, like the way it's going. So I think, you know, they, like you said, I think they need to get rid of him, either release him, which they're not going to do, but or trade him. Doesn't matter what team, like you need to trade him. And then the other thing is this, is that, you know, Scherzer, look, I know that, you know, that he's been pitching better, but you cannot give up a home run to Victor Caratini. I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, he's been, he's owned Scherzer. So that's a guy that's had, for whatever reason, Scherzer's number. Matter of fact, he's owned the Mets, this guy. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It doesn't matter
But he's not a good hitter, man.
He is against Max Scherzer. He owns him.
But you have to figure him out. Look, you have to say, look, this guy, he's not going to beat us. Let's basically figure out his weaknesses. And look, to me, there's no excuse for that. And I think the Mets, obviously the year is over, but I think that they need to basically bring up Mauricio.
Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen, Antonio. They will make the decision to be sellers. Whatever pieces they can sell, they will, without going nuts, you know, and doing something stupid. They're not going to do that. Whatever piece they can sell, they will. And then they will make room for Mauricio and Vientos. They have to. I mean, this has now become a year where they're going to be seeing what the youngsters can do. I mean, there's no reason not to try to develop them and give them some run here at the major league level in an otherwise lost season.
The last thing is this. Look, what they could do right now, I think they should basically just put Canna in right field and sit McNeil and Pookie Yorme. At least Yorme gives you better defense at the end of the day. And I think for now, at least, look, what Buck has to do, he has to say this. Look, if you perform, you play. You don't perform, you don't play. I don't care who you are. You're Alonso. If you're McNeil, I don't care who you are. If you don't perform, you don't play.
Yeah, but
that's
happens,
what he has to do at this point.
What happens, and thank you for the call, Antonio, what happens if nobody performs, which is very likely? And also you get into a spot with that where, what does that mean? So a guy has a hot game or, you know, two games. He has a hot week, and you're just going to give him run for how long? What if he then has a cold game? or goes quiet for a day or two. Then do you take him out? So it can't just be, oh, you're playing whoever's hot. You got to get guys hot, and to do that, you have to play them. Now, if it's a prolonged stretch and the guy's not getting the job done, sure. But really, at this point, it doesn't matter. I'd get Vogel back out of here. I would look to trade McNeil. I would look to trade Marte. I'm looking to dump Ottavino, Robertson, Drew Smith, all of them. Because I don't think they're any good. And I don't think they can be a part of the winning team next year, which is the idea that you're trying to build. A winning team. Taco Frank is calling from Hamilton, New Jersey. Hi, Taco Frank.
Yo, what's up, brother? It's Taco Frank in Atlanta at the moment.
Ah, you're still driving up here, huh?
Yeah, we're getting on the way back, man. And like you expected, you're not well-liked down there. I was in the memorabilia shop inside the stadium, and the guy picked up on some of the Yankee stuff I had on. Asked me if I'm from New York, so I'm talking to him for a few minutes. And I can tell him, he knows his stuff, and I asked him about their afternoon guys. And so I just dropped the line. I said, you ever hear of Sal Licata? And he says, you mean the idiot that predicted the NL East is over?
Yeah, they know me down there. I may be an idiot, all right, but they know me.
They definitely do, bro. I'm not attending the Sal Licata viewing tonight, man, because this is a celebration. I told you from day one, you're meant for prime time. You went from fetching Mike's Diet Pepsis or Diet Cokes to hosting middays now, man. And
hard to believe, isn't it?
I couldn't be happier, and you and Tierney are going to be awesome together.
I appreciate that. It is hard to believe when you say that, going from an intern, working the way up and then working with Mike and all that. It is a time for me to reflect, and I've done a lot of that, just trying to think about the journey. It is unbelievable. 20 years. And now this opportunity, it is hard for me to actually believe that it's happening. Even now, as I say this, it's hard to believe it's real.
Yeah, those old stories of you grading the NCAA brackets for dog, and there's not many people left that
babysitting.
I
babysat dog's kids once. He paid me to go babysit his kids. I had to drive up to New Canaan, go to his house. We went to an amusement park. Me, dog, and I think it was his three kids at the time, and they were very young. And I babysat. We went around. I went on the rides with some of them. Me and little Timmy going on some roller coaster ride or whatever it is. I can't believe that.
That's awesome, man. I got a couple of quick things for you. I don't know if you saw that picture, man. That was pretty neat today. Frankie played against Alfonso Soriano's son. And we were talking to him for a while and stuff, man. What a great guy. And he went, Frankie got him out three times, so I was happy with that.
But
this kid is huge, man. He's a big kid. And he hit a bomb off Frankie, but my boy Whalen went up, and I tell you, it might have went out, and probably would have hit about three quarters off the fence, but the kid made a great catch. But Soriano couldn't be better, man. Took pictures with the kids.
That's
signed
pretty
a
cool.
Few autographs. And, it was great seeing him out there. But, hey, it's years like this, man, that's why you have to love sports, man. This has been one of the most enjoyable Mets seasons.
Oh,
and there's
boss.
Been a lot of them.
Oh,
this has boss. Been so enjoyable. And I just want to make sure you know, buddy, there's no run coming. It's over. Guys like you and Hector got to realize, there's no run coming.
They're dead. I said they're dead 100 times.
How great. I loved your open last night, man. I'm listening to it this morning. How great, is it another perfect game? And you guys don't even have a no-hitter. You want to count the one hitter. If Adrian Johnson calls that ball fair, which it was by 3 inches, if there's replay, if anything, you don't even have a no-hitter, buddy. And you made a bobblehead.
If Richie Garcia can make a call in right field, Mr. October and Derek Jeter, Mr. November and Derek Jeter, maybe they'll not be born. Maybe that Yankee dynasty is not born because Jeffrey Mayer steals the ball away from Tony Tarasco. You want to go over all the bad calls that happen in favor of the Yankees during their dynasty run?
If you're going to count that no-hitter, I want Messina to count as a perfect game, then.
I don't care about the no-hitter. I admitted that. I said it last night. You heard me say it. And thank you for the call, Taco Frank. We appreciate you checking in. You heard me say it. I mean, I love the no-hitter at the time, sure. And it is, in my opinion, the only no-hitter in Mets history. I don't get caught up in the combined no-hitters. I know that technically counts, but for me, it does nothing for me, the combined no-hitters. A no-hitter, a perfect game, that's thrown by one person, one pitcher. And the Johan one counts. Although the problem with it is that people like Taco Frank are always going to bring up the fact that if there were a replay, it shouldn't have counted. Should have been a base hit by Beltran. And then the Yankees get perfect games. Domingo Herman throwing another perfect game. It's nauseating. And it's people like you, Taco Frank, that make me want to root against the Yankees. Here I am trying to bury the hatred that I had for them, the deep, deep, deep hatred that I had for them back in the 90s and 2000s. Here I am trying to be a nice guy and be unbiased and bury that hatred. And yet Taco Frank comes along, rips on the Mets, dismisses the Mets as the laughingstock that I know they are. Like, I get it. I've said it. There's no need for you to pile on. And now you make me want to root for pain for you. Whenever that may be. Maybe in the ALCS. Maybe in the Division Series. Maybe even in the World Series. But you better believe that if the Yankees don't win it all, Taco Frank will be getting a call from me.
Talk New York sports with us. 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
You gotta give me a second here. I got a protein bar. Plus, I like this song anyway. Diddy? Do you think of Diddy or do you think of the other dude who did it? Who's the other guy that did it? Come on, Rami. You know. Fleegs? Do you know?
It says here Puff Daddy.
Yeah, this is a Diddy song. Who's the one who did the original?
I do remember you once saying it. But I don't remember who it was.
Oh, come on. It's some popular guy.
I remember the days of early on in the overnight, you know, great memories as we say goodbye to you, when you had like 60-second to 90-second breaks and you were trying to like shove down food or have a drink or just do everything when I was telling you, hey, you only have 90 seconds, yeah. So don't go anywhere.
And I'm like, get the hell out of here. 90 seconds? I didn't even go to the bathroom yet. I got to eat a protein bar. I got to go to the bathroom. David Bowie, I think it was. And I know there are a lot of people out there going, what are you, an idiot? You should know by now I'm an idiot. But I think it was David Bowie had the regular. But come on, that was that Puff Daddy song right there, that year, that album, I love that album. I think it was I think it was 97. I graduated high school there.
At this point, I think we know Bowie. Your backstory with all of the, how many songs are in rotation here.
Yeah, well, that was a good one. I haven't heard that one in a while. My cousin just texted me, David Bowie. I know he's probably like, you idiot. How do you not? That's not Puff Daddy. It's David Bowie.
Okay, and I remember, I think we found out last time. Now I remember realizing it was Bowie because I remember telling you, you know who's a huge David Bowie fan?
Who?
Steve Summers.
Mm-hmm. Is he? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, Sal, how can you not know David Bowie?
By the way, we should tell the overnight audience, Saturday night, yeah, 10 to 2.
He's coming back. Now, it's just a one-off for Steve. He'll be back on the anniversary of the station, of course, July 1st, 1987. So Steve will be hosting a show. 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. I tried to get him in here when I was doing the evenings. By the way, I haven't heard from Steve. I mean, is he reading the news? Come on. Where's the congratulations?
I'll talk because I'm on after him Saturday night, Sunday morning. So I'll get a message from him, and I'm sure he'll tell me to pass along to you.
No, I
Sal,
love him.
You're ahead of the curve.
That's exactly right. He said that to me all the time. Oh, and every intern who walked in the building, oh, you're ahead of the curve. No, I love Steve, and I genuinely do miss him. Him and Bob, we got to get together. I say it all the time.
Bob I talked to 2 days ago, so I know what's going on with him.
He texted me as well. But I'm just saying, with those guys, they were the part of the newsroom that I grew up in Astoria. We were watching the Mets and Yankees every night together. It was great. When I was producing for Steve, Bob was doing the updates. It was just us hanging out, a few others in the newsroom, watching these games every night and then getting to talk about it on The Fan. And I was producing for Summers. It was great. Those are some of my favorite memories, working behind the scenes, working my way up, but being a part of the newsroom where we're just hanging out, going from Home Depot to going to the Fan newsroom. I don't care what the hours were, what the pay was. I'm hanging out with Steve Summers, Bob Huesler, and others watching baseball.
Also, think about how much easier it was because it was therapy every night. You had your support group if you were a Mets fan here at the Fan because Steve Summers was there. Bob Huesler was there. If it was a road game at the time, John Schweibacher was there most nights. And at some point in the night, Harris Allen would be here too.
Oh, yeah,
so you had all
with
these
fans.
All these Mets fans
commiserating.
That would be here just, yeah, it helped everybody get through the garbage the team puts us through together.
They would hit a home run, and Summers would run laps around. It's hard to explain the layout, but there was kind of a square where there was a square hallway around the studios. And Summers would do a full lap every time.
And then he would do it here, because now here it's more like a rectangle, but he would do it here while taking a puff from a cigarette between each lap.
And the best part was where he'd look up and see a replay of a home run and start taking off.
Yeah.
Oh, he was so great. Oh, man, I miss those days. I love Steve. Anyway.
And then the volume, I mean, people know Bob, just the way he, composed himself on air, the volume he could get to while he was out there screaming in the newsroom, either something positive or negative, would shock a lot of people.
Oh, man, it was great. I would not trade those days for anything. You go, that's a long time ago now. 15, 16 years ago, whatever it was, maybe even more. But, yeah, I love it. And I love Steve, and I can't wait to listen to him. Saturday night, 10 to 2. He'll be back. We haven't heard from him in a while, right? So Summers hasn't done a show, and when?
He has not done a show. He's done guest appearances.
But not a show.
He has not done a show since he retired.
Right, which is 2 years ago, over 2 years ago, because I was one of the people who took a full-time spot when he left. You're talking about November of 2021, right?
Yeah. He's done he's been on with Keith a bunch. He's been on with you. Like, he's popped up. He did stuff on Rosenberg's show. He's been a presence on the station. But this is the first Steve Summers four-hour show since the day he said goodbye.
I love it. I'm excited to listen to it. I'm also excited to listen to this. Tony is calling from Ridgewood. What do you got for me, Tony?
How are you, Sal? Listen, nothing against McMonagle, but I thought Fleegs had more range. And with that in mind, I composed this little song for him. And then don't cut me off because I have one for you. Bum, 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 bum. Fliegelman, Fliegelman. Does whatever a fan, host, or producer can. Googles Elias, gets the facts, always provides accurate financial stats. Here comes the Fliegelman.
All right,
does he have range? Listen, bud. Covers the four major sports and even women wrestling in mud. His audience under the covers in their beds. Give him his props and his creds. Here comes the Fliegelman.
And that's not
in
bad.
The studio overnight.
Well, hold on. Hey, we can't let you go on forever because I want to hear the one about me. So that's not bad. I'm going to give you a second chance, though. You have one about me, you said?
Wow, you cut me off on that. That was a great song.
Oh,
all right,
it was going on too long. I don't even know. I want to hear you talk. It's fine. It was all right. I couldn't let it go on a little bit longer. I want to hear the second one that you have.
Okay, but Mickey and the other guy, Antonio, went on for like 5 minutes.
No, but they were talking. They were talking and you're singing a song. You do realize the difference, right, Tony?
Okay, you do. All right, here we go. Nothing you can say can tear me away from myself.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Coast to coast, George Norrie voice could ever make me change my choice from myself. I'm sticking to myself like Spider Tack to Garrett Cole, the Carter on the fan. That's how I roll. You must be believing I won't be a leaving myself. No. With Tierney and Licata forming the new midday team.
Right.
How we overnight regulars going to let off any steam. Dr. Licata will provide them with the tools, describing weekly doses of Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah!
Nothing you can say can tear us away from ourselves. No. The end.
All right, that's not bad, Tony. Thank you for the call. Fleegs, what'd you think of that? I didn't want to... I almost hung up on it before we finished the end of mine. I'm glad I didn't because it got the Vanderpump Rules line in there. What'd you think of the one for you?
Well, I love it just because of the tune of the song he was using.
I didn't get that.
Eric will feel the same way.
What is it?
Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. I didn't get it. So Fliegelman. Oh, okay. Right. Now I get it. Now I'm having a rough night with songs. David Bowie, Spider-Man. But I knew the My Guy thing.
Well,
My Girl.
I feel like My Guy. This happened at some point in the last 2 years when you've been doing overnights. Somebody called and sang a song to the tune of My Guy, and we looked it up because we couldn't remember who the original artist was. and then we were trying to figure it out because we found different Google results. So now I'm wondering if that was also Tony.
Might have been. But then I don't like that he takes offense. Like, I'm like, come on, move it on here. You're singing a song and, you know.
You're singing, they're talking. Do you know, you understand the difference?
No, he didn't. And he's going on for 30 seconds. Like, how, I don't know how many verses there are here. I tried to stop him, he kept going on. No, I don't need more. We appreciate it, though, Tony. Good job. Creativity. A-plus for creativity. Chris is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Si. I wasn't going to miss the opportunity to talk to you tonight. This show is awesome. I love the memory lane stuff. And listen, before I talk about the Mets, I was thinking about, shout-out to Fleegs because he's awesome, but I was thinking about Fleegs' worst nightmare would have been if Cohen said, Epler is going to, you know, be relieved of his duties, and we're going to bring in Sandy Alderson temporarily.
Fleegs, no, I know he can't stand Sandy Alderson. Him and I have gone back and forth on that one over the last couple of years. And,
I know.
You know, Alderson really did not do. Look, you think about it. As much as I love Sandy, and he did some good things, and obviously, you know, being the architect of helping that team get to the World Series in 2015, he did some bad things as well that put the franchise in a bad spot.
Absolutely. So, Sal, before I get to the Mets thing, just did you happen to see the Marcus Stroman tweet about the number 17?
I did. It was on my list. Why don't you you want to tell the audience about it, or you want me to?
Well, yeah, no, you tell it. I guess, I mean, this guy just continues to just, there's no end to what
Marcus Stroman is. He's lost. Okay, first of all, I kissed his ass for 2 years, maybe a year and a half. You know why? Because he was good. He was a good pitcher. Yeah. So I didn't care about any of the nonsense. And by the way, then I started to follow him on social media, and I liked his messaging. Matter of fact, I'm wearing one of the bracelets that his company makes. Height doesn't measure heart. Now, that's not necessarily my thing, but it says believe in yourself. So I wear that bracelet, and I like it. I liked some of the messaging on his clothing and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, after kissing his rear end on TV, saying he's good, saying I like the messaging, he blocked me on Twitter because I was critical of the Mets. Like, give me a break, dude. Anyway, that was my experience with him. You know how sensitive he can be over the years. I've heard horrible things about him as far as his impact on that clubhouse, which adds up because he was a good pitcher. So why would you let a good pitcher go for nothing? Well, because he's not good in the clubhouse. And then yesterday he tweets in regards to Keith Hernandez's comment, which I thought was hilarious. Keith on the game broadcast yesterday was asked by Gary Cohen if Shohei Ohtani asked to wear the number 17, you know, in free agency, that maybe the Mets go get Ohtani. What if you wanted to wear the number 17, which is now retired because of Keith? If he asked you, what would you do? And Keith was basically, well, he can't wear it. It's retired. And Gary's like, no, but what if he asked? Keith says, don't ask, which I thought was great. That's what he should say. It's retired for a reason.
He said, don't make me answer. Right.
And then Stroman tweets out that something about Ohtani.
He's a dinosaur.
Right.
Don't let an old dinosaur. Yeah, what a jerk.
Right. Ohtani should be able to wear whatever he wants. Don't listen to some dinosaur. How about that? Marcus Stroman calling Keith Hernandez, one of the all-time greats, a dinosaur. Like, dude, get a clue, you disrespectful jerk.
Yeah, he is. And why he has to infuse himself into that. I mean, anyway, I just saw that. I'm like, wow, this guy's just clueless. So, Sal, on the Mets, man, it is just mentally and emotionally exhausting. And, you know, it's the last couple of days have been tough because the realization. But, you know, I do have to say, like, if they do some selling, which they should, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a years of rebuild. I mean, if they make a couple shrewd moves, they could be competitive next year. It doesn't mean that we're getting guys that are, like, in, you know, high school. So they have to, you know, we have to see what they're going to do, but there are ways to get younger and get some younger talent and still maintain some level of competitive for next year.
They should be better. Look, I mean, it's going to be hard to be worse next year, but it's not like this team all of a sudden should be a bad team the next several years. If Cohen's got to fix it, they got to figure a way out of this. And whether that's the development or further development of some of the young players, Beatty and Alvarez or Ronnie Mauricio, you know, those guys are going to be big keys moving forward. Obviously, Lindor and Alonso and Brandon Nimmo. Pitching is their biggest issue. How are they going to fix? And look, maybe they get Shohei Ohtani. And that would be, I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen, but that would be a huge move for them in many different ways. But probably the primary reason is because you can pitch. They need pitchers. End of story.
Right. right? Left and south. And, you know, you say they're soft, you're 100% right. Another way they showed it was two nights ago, Alonzo got hit on the top of the neck. Oh, did you see that? The top of the back?
Yeah.
And you got, I mean, how many times does this team not do anything? And you know, sluggers getting hit. And it's amazing. I guess, how can they watch that and not retaliate? You know why they don't retaliate? They don't have anyone in the bullpen that can throw over 50 miles an hour. That's probably why.
Yeah, right. They don't have guys that could get. The Mets aren't in a position, Chris, and thank you for the call as always. We appreciate listening and calling. The Mets aren't in a position where they can give away, you know, putting a guy on base. You can't. You have to go get every out you possibly can. You can't be messing around trying to retaliate hitting guys, although now it doesn't really matter because their season's over anyway. I'd just be drilling everybody. But they're soft. And I'm not talking about in the way that they don't go out there and fight. That's a different kind of soft. I'm not going to say that. I think that they've been smart on that and been disciplined on that. They're soft in that they had a false confidence a year ago. To have real confidence, you have to have some success. And unfortunately for this Mets group, they didn't really have the success. Now you can say, well, Sal, winning 101 games is successful. Yes, you're right. But the way that the season played out last year, it didn't feel successful. Because the Mets are the only team that didn't have one champagne celebration. They won 101 games. They made the postseason. They never once had the champagne celebration because they were waiting to clinch the division that was theirs. And they had it stolen from them because the Braves went head-to-head with them and wiped them out. And they never recovered. That's what I mean by being soft. Not being able to take a punch, whether it's losing on that Friday night and responding on the Saturday, whether it's losing the first two and responding on the Sunday night, whether it's bouncing back in the postseason against the Padres. They never responded. They got punched and never bounced back. That is why I think that they're soft.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Back on the Fan, going to 5 a.m. We got 3 hours left. That's it. Let's hear from you. 877-337-6666. Andre's calling from the Bronx. What's up, Andre?
Hey, Sam. How you doing?
Good, Andre. How are you?
Listen to me. I have the perfect song for you, right? Because I heard the different songs. It's a Stevie Wonder, and it's signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours.
I love that song.
Congratulations to you and your family. You know, you stayed around so long.
Yeah, thank you for the call. Appreciate you checking in. I wanted to hear more of that, Dre, but you can't curse. I'm sorry. What, are you trying to get me in trouble on my last overnight here? I love how he just casually dropped
it in.
Wouldn't
it be fitting for your last overnight without somebody dropping that in? Again, once again, unintentionally.
Right. Right. We've had calls that either want to get it out or, you know, have a thought that they want to curse or whatever. But most of the callers that we've had have just nonchalantly in conversation dropped the curse. I find it funny, but we can't air that, unfortunately. So I apologize, Dre, but I do appreciate the kind words. I appreciate the kind words, not the dirty words. Man, it's not my doing. I mean, if you want to use those words, I'm fine with it. You just can't do it on the radio. I mean, you can get yourself in a little bit of trouble. DJ is calling from Eatontown, New Jersey. What's up, DJ?
First Cartons, seven words.
Say it again. DJ, say that again.
I won't use any of the seven forbidden words.
There you go. Yeah, right.
First things first, man. I just want to say congrats, man. I know everyone's falling up talking about music now. I remember me and you during the lockout singing Bismarck to each other, saying that we're getting teased by the MLB and the players. And, like, man, I'm going to miss hearing on the overnight. I work nights. I love driving home and listening to you, especially, I'm not going to lie, I take a little happiness in hearing your angst as a Mets fan sometimes. But
that's not nice, DJ.
I know, but hey, I remember one time I said to you, hey, you got a glamorous job. You said, I'm not glamorous, I'm working New York. And man, you do have a glamorous job, and congratulations to everything, man. You work hard, you're great. Those bozos in Atlanta, they're too afraid to put their mouth where the money is, you know, even though they got a great team. That's why you went out there and you stood up for your team, because you're a real fan, man.
Well,
and that's why I like listening to you. And the fact that you're going to be teaming up with BT, I called into BT. That was the first time I called into a radio station when he worked at the other radio station. I was either a high school senior or a college freshman. I was nervous. I think I was talking about the Jabba rules. And the fact that you guys are teaming up, like, I probably am not going to lie to you. I work nights, so I won't hear a whole lot. But when I can, I'll try to.
Well, check it out on the free Odyssey app whenever you can, just to give it a listen. But we appreciate that very much. I know, you know, BT and I have talked a lot over the last couple of weeks, so I get the feeling that we're both excited to get going on this, and you know, just gonna have some fun talking sports. That's it.
You're going to need a Yankee fan to push back with you, man. I got two questions for you. One's like a legit question. The other one, I know the answer. The Mets, if they start selling, is there anything that they can do, like when they're not, obviously, like they're going to go out of their way to help the Yankees, but is there any pieces you see on the Mets that could help the Yankees if they make a crosstown trade? And second, now with your new primetime spot, can you help my boy Fleas get better time slots, because you know I'm going to Nashville this weekend, so I'm not going to be able to listen to Steve Somers or him after, because you know it's a bachelor party, and I shouldn't be listening to a radio show when I'm in Nashville for a bachelor party. Love you, man. Best of luck with the new gig. I'm gonna hang up and listen.
Thank you, DJ. Enjoy your trip. I appreciate you checking in. First, is there anybody on the Mets that the Yankees could use? What do you think, Marco? Anybody right now that comes to mind? I mean, do they want Tommy Pham?
I don't see it.
Yeah, trying
I don't
to think.
See it. Look, there's a couple of things that the Yankees could use that the Mets have, but the Mets wouldn't be looking to get rid of it.
Like?
A Brandon Nimmo. I don't see it. I don't see the fit for anything that the Mets are going to be getting rid of. The Cannas of the world, the Phams.
Yeah, would they take a chance on Marte? Just take over his contract?
Personally, I would not.
Right.
No, I mean,
they'd be better off with Pham at that point.
Yeah, I guess.
Better player, going to be a free agent.
Look, Marte, if he was hitting and the Mets were losing, sure. Yeah, all right, take on the contract and, you know, you finally find an outfielder that you need, or at least he's going to play every day. No, I mean, he's done nothing and he looks lost. Do the Yankees need another guy that's not hitting, that looks lost at the plate, and Yankees, another contract?
Yankees need another outfielder. Mets don't really have a good one.
Right.
Change of scenery swap, Jeff McNeil for DJ LeMahieu.
I wouldn't do it if I'm the Mets.
I'm joking. I was going to say. I wouldn't do it if I'm
the Mets. I would do that if I was the Yankees. Sure. Absolutely. You want to take that contract? You can go right ahead. I think DJ LeMahieu's done.
Yeah. Well, I think McNeil is not what
agreed
we thought he could be.
But I may be able to unlock that. I don't think there's anything left to the player that DJ LeMahieu was.
He looks washed up.
He looks like an old man.
Slow and big.
And I don't know if it's straight the foot injury. But he's got no pop left, and you're right now, if you unlock it, maybe you get a 260, 270 hitter. He's not the guy he was.
They're a bad match because the Mets' strength from trading, believe it or not, is the bullpen, right? You would have a guy like Robertson who would be valuable, potentially Raley. I mean, maybe somebody thinks Ottavino could be good. The Yankees don't need any of those guys.
No.
So that's why maybe that's not a match. Now, the other part of his thing, he was saying, Marco, that he wants to get Fleegs better opportunity. Fleegs, when are you on this? Are you on this weekend?
I'm on after Steve, 2 to 6.
Oh, that's a great spot. following Steve.
Well, DJ was saying just because he's not going to be around.
Because he's at a bachelor party in Nashville. That was the problem for him.
That's a great...
And I agree. If I were at a bachelor party in Nashville, I also would not be listening to
the fan. Yeah, right. I mean, you know, I know it's the overnight, and it's obviously not easy, as we've been discussing basically all night, all week, as a matter of fact. Well, why not? 2.5 years we've been discussing.
I was going to say, more than a week. Let's be fair.
What are we talking about, on the air or off the air?
Both.
That's a great spot. What a better... Come on, Fleas, you can't come up with a better lead-in than Steve.
No, listen, I'm thrilled about it. I just hope that there are still people who can call because everybody's going to be on for those 4 hours. Then they're not allowed on during my show.
That is true. Everybody's going to be trying to get through to Steve because they haven't talked to him in so long.
I got to say, I'm jealous of the fact that even that you're going to be able to see Steve and be able to hang out with
him. I'm very excited. Well, I've seen Steve more recently than most other people, but it's still been since opening day of last baseball season when we were together for the Seaver ceremony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish I could have. Had him on. I miss him.
I haven't seen Steve. I've talked to him. I haven't seen him since everything happened with COVID when we all got sent home. And I remember the last thing he said to me as we was walking away, maybe this will be the last time I ever see him. Yeah. I was like, Steve, I'll be back in like 2 weeks. How long could this possibly last?
It was crazy.
I haven't seen him since.
Well, so you should have had the conversation with Bob Huesler that night that Sal had.
Yeah. I remember sitting right here. Bob gets up from the update chair and I'm like, man, this is bad. Like, what is this? And he's like, oh, like, you know, I'm thinking, what are we going to be, 2 weeks or something like that? He's like, oh, no. You know Bob when he gets real serious.
Yeah.
He had that serious face. No, this is a pandemic. This is bad. And I was like, what the hell is a pandemic?
he'll also, he always used your name there, too. So he probably went, oh, Sal.
Yeah.
This is a pandemic.
I was doing a 10-2 show, I'm pretty sure.
You know what? Leave it to Bob to be able to foresee
this. I was there
this.
That night.
We were all, I mean, and I was in total denial. I thought maybe a week at 2 at tops. Because they were never going to send us home to begin with.
The best,
leave it to Bob knowing everything before it happened.
The best was Moose at the SNY newsroom. I'll never forget this because we were talking about, I'm like, you know, they had just canceled, I think, the Adam Sandler concert that I was supposed to go to. I'm like, what are they doing here?
I remember that.
I'm like, this is really bad. Like, and Moose like, what do you think, dude? They're going to shut everything down? And he starts laughing. Like, the next day, everything is shut down, or the next week. What, are they going to shut the world down? And yes, they are. What are they going to do, Licata? I swear to you, that was a conversation. We were joking
you
around
do
about
an underrated Moose.
I mean, I've known him for a long time, but I don't even try to do the impression anymore. And then I think about it, it doesn't work. But I swear to you, that was the look he gave me. Because I started to get freaked out about it. Like, I'm telling him, Moose, this could be bad. Like, work may be, we lose work. They start cutting shows. You don't know if you're getting those back. And that's exactly what happened. What are they going to shut, you know, Moose? Who's going to shut supermarkets and everything down? Yeah, they did. Everything was shut down.
Yeah, and that's what I went to go do. Basically, when everything got shut down here, the first thing I did was get a job at a supermarket working overnights.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I worked there for 2.5 years.
What?
I worked at a ShopRite three to four nights a week on the overnight when COVID hit, when all the shifts here got dried up. It was over. Everybody got basically sent home. I started working overnights. I had a couple of radio jobs, but everything got dried up. It was only 2 to 3 days a week. I can't survive on that.
What a weird... I filed
so I started
for unemployment.
Work. It was the only thing I told you last
I didn't
night.
Get
the
it,
only thing else I knew how to do, because I had done it for a decade, was work in a supermarket.
Yeah.
Went to the supermarket that was the closest to my house, started working in a ShopRite for 3 years doing the overnight.
I think I did apply, or at least I went into it, and then I was like, oh, I'm not working these hours for this money. No way. I'm not doing
it. Yeah, you
ain't kidding. Now, I was lucky where I didn't have to do it, but I did lose a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, we all did. Obviously, everybody got affected. It's not like we were the only two or the
right.
only
no,
four.
No, I know, but...
We all did. But yeah, I went and... Surprisingly enough, they put me in produce, which is where my expertise lied, doing the overnights, which was schlepping the load. Anybody's ever had to work in a supermarket, we got to put everything away. Everything comes in the middle of the
night.
You got to take everything off the pallets.
Yeah,
you got to put everything
though.
Away. Oh, yeah, it's great.
I like that.
And because I had done 10 years prior in a different supermarket, I got an extra 50 cents an hour.
Well, nice. What supermarket you work at?
The first one that I did for 10 years was at King's.
Okay.
And the second one was ShopRite.
So I have worked at King Kullen. Are you familiar with that one?
I've heard the name. I've never been to one.
Any of you guys familiar with King Kullen? Is it just a Long Island thing? Maybe it is. I loved it. I told you, I love supermarkets.
Again, love is strong. It's not a bad job. Parts of it I actually enjoyed. Love is strong. 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, come on. You're by yourself. You're packing out the boat. You get the U-boat.
Myself.
Oh, well, I mean, I felt like I was by myself.
If I was by myself with the 27 pallets that we had, you know, at night, I would have never been able to finish. Are you kidding me?
Packing out the U-boat and all that stuff. I love the supermarket. Look, that's my...
U-boat. Were you doing grocery, non-foods, Haba? What were you doing?
What do you mean?
There's different sections. Depends on what.
No, I know, but what I mean, I think I was doing. I did dairy for a little bit, but I wasn't.
Yeah,
a
what
regular
were you putting
dairy.
On the shelf?
You know,
what type
like,
of product?
Whatever, like paper towels, things like that.
Okay, so you were probably more of a non-foods.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay,
I was all over the place. Like I did a lot, a little bit of everything, but mainly I was a cashier. You're a cashier. Yes, I was a cashier.
Cashier.
I know.
Come on, man.
Come on, what do you mean?
Should be up there in a cashier.
When I worked at Target, that was by far the worst part because I worked on the sales floor, but every now and then when it got busy, everybody would get called up to the front. That was by far the worst part.
Do you know how many girls I met being a cashier? Like the real men, they worked in the aisles, like you said.
I was going to say.
I was up front hanging out with the cashiers.
No. They didn't respect you. They talked to you because you were closer in proximity.
Yeah, but
the girls that were in the front.
And,
would hang out with us that were working in the back, we would see them later, off
Some
hours.
Some of them.
Off hours.
I remember once I dated a girl who worked in the bakery department. That was fun.
I met my wife working at King's.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was she? What department was she at? Cashier?
She was cashier to
there
start.
There you go, look at
And that. Then she graduated to, she was like part of the, I forget what it was called exactly. She was the money. Like she was the one counting up everything
before
you closed.
The bookkeeper.
Yeah.
I did that too.
Yeah. You were the bookkeeper too?
Yeah, I was a bookkeeper. I went from.
I got to tell you something. I'm not putting you in charge of the money.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm not letting you count the money.
I was pretty good at it, I think. Yeah.
Wasn't there a story you almost got fired one day?
I did. Did I ever tell this story?
Yeah, because I just remembered.
I told the whole thing on the air. I'll tell it again.
A good part of it on the air. I don't know if you said it.
I haven't heard it.
Can I just say that this story will be brought to you by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com. Also brought to you by policeofficersrighttosue.com.
Yeah.
Right. Update. So, Mets lost. They stink.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We don't need to update you on that. Yankees
well,
win
Mets
story.
I want to hear the story. That's
so,
more important.
All right. I'll tell this the best way that I can. Then we'll get back to the callers here. So working in the bookkeeping office, there was a bottle room. To the right of us. So like at the end of the night, you know, it's nobody's there. All the managers are home. It's me and my coworkers, but my friends, you know, we're closing down the store. Store's closed, right? They got to put everything in order on the floor. I'm doing everything, counting the final, bookkeeping, all that stuff. The restroom was legit all the way in the back, all the way on the other side of the store. And I was a young, dumb, idiot kid. There was a bottle room to the right.
Wait, before you go further, I'm sorry. I do have to need clarification because I don't. What is a bottle room?
Like, you know, the bottles, the empty bottles, plastic, the.
Like recycling?
Glass bottles. Yeah, exactly.
There's a room just for recycling?
Yeah, there was.
Okay.
They didn't put the recycles in it. So, if Fleeks, this is what I was telling, right? This story, I told this story on the air before?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was on the air.
Right.
I've definitely heard it, but I think it was on the air.
So. You know, instead of going all the way back at this particular hour, we're trying to get out of there, I used one of the bottles, which happened to be a Corona bottle. Okay? I forgot to put the bottle away, like throw it out. Somebody left the produce door open or one of the freezer doors open throughout the middle of the night. Managers got called back because the alarm goes off.
Right.
They come back. They see a Corona bottle. They thought we were drinking on the job.
Just tell them to have a sip.
They thought we were drinking on the job. And one of my friends, another manager, but like a lesser manager, was like, that was not alcohol. I think he said it a little differently, but he said that was not alcohol. And they didn't believe it. And we got in a little trouble for that, which is understandable.
It was still there?
That's what I'm saying. I forgot.
No. I understand that. But if they didn't believe you,
did they probably
pour it out? Like, I mean,
I don't know how they found out. Like Dumb and Dumber, like you guys drinking it.
You can strongly hint. It's not Corona. It's the kind of beer you drink when you're in college.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what happened exactly. All I know is that, oh, no, here's what happened. Now I do remember what happened. I forgot it there, but because they had already come back, they left it there as like proof. And then my buddy went back and we ended up getting rid of it. So then when the manager came back the next day, they say, where is that? you know, where's the bottle, whatever. So they were going to leave it there as evidence and all that stuff. But convoluted mess of a story. But, yeah, that's... I still got the letter of suspension. Suspension.
You couldn't have just picked a bottle of, like, I don't know, Pepsi,
that's
Coke,
what I mean. Like by accident. By accident. Any other bottle. Any other bottle would have been better. Corona. It's not alcohol. That was, yeah. Anyway, 870. what a life. I mean, what a life I've lived here. When's the book coming out? You believe this stuff?
The person who picked it up and drank it is a sports god, and now everything makes sense.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.